Well, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5. Just to kind of give you guys a little bit of insight, though I won't go into all the details of it for our camp, the theme verse for the camp that we had, and you may see some kids kind of around here wearing those shirts, it was Romans 5:8, and the phrase was, "But God." And so we went through and unpacked just the richness of how much of a pivotal moment that phrase is in Romans 5 specifically, but I mean, you see it in other places in the Bible as well as in Ephesians chapter 2. And so I wanted to bring some of the spirit of what we talked about with our youth and that passage specifically to you guys tonight so that we could talk about it. And I'll put all my cards on the table. This is, if I had to pick, and I don't think that may be the best thing to say, but if I had to pick a favorite Bible verse, it would be Romans 5:8. Because the way it is set up beforehand and the way it makes that pivot just gives me so much comfort in life. Amen. All right, so if you would just read with me here, we're going to read starting in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Let's pray. Father God, we are just so grateful for your love that you have just shown so clearly to us, Lord. And though we weren't there to watch Christ die on the cross for our sins, you have left the evidence and you have sent your spirit to press upon us the truth of that reality. And Lord, the fact that even when the world around us tells us different things and our emotions and our own hearts and the devil lies against us, the truth of your word shines through. And we know that you love us and that you've paid the ultimate price for us. And we are ultimately secure because of your love. Thank you for your great grace, and thank you for Christ's death for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So very briefly, I want to just to get your minds geared here on the thought of this Romans 5 passage so that way you guys can go and discuss this with each other. Now, if you kind of could tell, like in chapter 5 at the start there, he talks about this therefore. Now, in chapter 4, he's going through and he's working out talking about our salvation and our grace, right? He starts out in the first parts of Romans, and this is kind of why we have the Romans Road as a content there to give people the gospel, because Paul is giving the gospel to this church in Rome that he has not been to make it clear what his allegiance is to, and as an evangelistic reason that if anybody's there, doesn't know it, that they understand it better. So he starts out in the first few chapters talking about how there's condemnation to all people. Like there's condemnation to the Gentile, but there's also condemnation to the Jew. That they're all equal. No one's better than one another in this case. And he puts us in this equal standing under God's wrath and under God's judgment. But then he starts bringing in this grace into the picture. And chapter 5, it's such a beautiful picture of this grace. And he'll go and talk more about what that grace looks like in the future and how we should act because of it. But chapter 5 is a huge point to pivot the whole book. And so he starts out here in chapter 5 with talking about how we are justified by our faith. Now, let me make sure that we're all very clear here that when we say we are justified in God, that does not mean just as if I'd never sinned. It's a phrase we throw out there. Look, yes, God throws our sins as far as the east is from the west, but he's not just, he doesn't hold you accountable to it, But that doesn't mean you walk away as if it never happened. You're hearing this from Paul. You can't read a single thing from Paul without him bringing back up who he was before Christ. He knows what he once was. He doesn't live as if he hadn't sinned. He lived knowing that even though he sinned, Christ died and made it to where he's counted as righteous. That's what justified means. Despite your sin, God has made you righteous. And with that righteousness, now we can have peace with God. Which there's two things we need to know when we have this peace with God through Christ. Is if you have peace with God, that means before Christ, you did not have peace. You were at war with God. God was your enemy. And yet here now we have peace. And this peace is not a standstill. It's not a ceasefire. It's reconciliation. Right? I mean, I think of you know, the Cold War that we talk about. Like, some people could describe that as an era of peace if they didn't understand the concept. Look, we're not here in a Cold War with God. We are made one with him in good relationship, in good standing. So through that justification, we have true peace with God. And not only that, we also have access by faith into his grace. So he makes the point here that the faith is leading us to access God's grace. Now, this was something that was brought up in our adults class, but the point needs to be brought again. Look, our faith is not what saves us. God's grace is what saves us. Right? That's what Ephesians says in chapter 2, verse 8. It says, by grace are you saved. Now, it says through faith. Your faith connects you to that grace, but you can have faith in a lot of things, and that won't save you. Your faith has to be placed, connected to God. And if it's not connected to God, your faith does nothing for you. God's grace is what saves you. So he's saying that we have access to him through this grace. And because of that, he brings up a beautiful point. We glory in our tribulations. Look, he draws this line of this chain of events that happens. And you see something like this happen in James chapter 1, 2, where we don't just get through our tribulations better. We rejoice in them. Look, he says we rejoice in them because when we go through those tribulations, it works patience. It works our endurance, right? It's like building our stamina. And with that comes an experience. We have a better character as people, as Christians. And with the end of it being, we have hope. And again, hope in the Bible is not, I wish something would be this way. It is our assurance. So Paul is making the point clear. When we go through our tribulations, it is so we can have a stronger assurance in God. Now, this hope makes it to where we know we're not ashamed. And this is where we see the beautiful picture with God's love for us here. And here you're seeing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together for our salvation. And look at this beautiful picture he makes. He just sets the scene really clearly. And I've said this to my youth constantly and to those who I come across. Look, if we were to take the vilest prisoner we could find and say, who would die for that person? Nobody would want to die for that person. Maybe if you felt like you were extremely noble, but really, truly, we wouldn't think that that's a good cause to invest in. We'd have a hard enough time giving up our life for someone who was good to begin with. That's what Paul says. So barely would there be a chance we'd die for a righteous person, but an ungodly we wouldn't. And here we have this pivot. But God. And this is, he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still in our sins, still in rebellion with God, warring against him, he died for us there. And notice the pivot point here. It's God's love. And it's the same way in Ephesians chapter 2. It's God who is rich in mercy with the great love that he has loved us with. So God's love is what makes the difference here. We are in our sin, and yet in that point, Christ died for us. And here's the beautiful point, and he unpacks this here. Like, realize, this is the furthest you could picture yourself from God. You are in rebellion from God. You have not gotten brought close to him in any way, shape, or form. And yet he trailblazed a path to you and has called you to salvation. His love has paid the price for you, and now you've been adopted as children, And now you have that relationship. So if God showed his love to you while you were there, now that he has elevated you here, how much more secure must you feel? Right? Because I know that I mess up always and that there are days when I feel further away from God than others. But I can tell you this, if I look back far enough and think about where I was before Christ changed my life and that he loved me at that point, then I know that I'm fine here and that he's still working for it. Look, it unpacks this here. We're free from his wrath and we are reconciled. It says in verse 10, we are reconciled to God. Look, I brought this up this week. The word atonement, the word to atone, like if you split it in two here, you have at one. Look, when an atonement is made for our sins, we are reconciled to God. It means we are at one with God. We are brought back together. The thing that divided us has been separated and removed to where we can come back. So Christ's death has atoned for us and reconciled us to where there's nothing in between us and God. The only thing that is there is in our own heads. All right, so for God's great love in that way. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we can be dismissed. Father God, we are just so grateful for your great love. And Lord, I just pray that in this time when we go to discuss that your gospel just presses upon our hearts, that if there's anyone here who has not applied this beautiful word, that you would take it and press it on our hearts to where we are reconciled with you. And Lord, if we have lived out this gospel and have applied it to ourselves, just press it upon us even more to where that every day we grow closer and closer to you and share this beauty with those around us. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen.